Since 2017, the Mexican-German choreographer Yolanda Gutierrez has been working on bringing history and dance together to decolonize colonial historical sites in the open space with body, memory, and sound. Throughout the years, she has been presenting this work in different cities in Europe and Mexico so far. In September this year, she will present this project for the first time in Africa, in the city of Kigali in Rwanda. Her last Urban Bodies project in Munich is one vivid example of this work, a conclusion of her fellowship at the Kader-Hamburger Research Center Global Disconnect. In this podcast, we will have a chance to hear some of the audio produced for this walk, look behind the scenes, and listen to the process specifically by developing this decolonizing audio walk.
Welcome to Global Disconnect, the podcast that unravels the intricate connections and disconnections shaping our world. Join us as we explore the multifaceted dimensions of globalization beyond traditional narratives, from the spread of ideas to the experiences of individuals living between cultures. We delve into the social significance of these global processes. Get ready to challenge your perspectives and uncover the true complexity of our interconnected world.
Born in Mexico City, Yolanda Gutierrez studied contemporary dance and new dance and performance. She has been living in Hamburg for over 3 decades now. Her work as a choreographer, curator, and producer brought her to travel and work internationally with artists and dancers worldwide. Touring since 2019 with her decolonizing and performative audio walk called Urban Bodies Project, this project brings up another perspective on colonialism through dance and history by telling other narratives in the process of decoloniality. Today's episode will give us a glimpse of Yolanda's work and how the Urban Bodies Project unfolded in the Bavarian capital of Munich. Essentially, 3 aspects are crucial for preparing and realizing these decolonizing audio walks with dance interventions called Urban Bodies Project. First of all, the research aspect of the city's colonial past, where the project takes place. The second one is by searching for the locations which are going to be intervened by dance and performance. The route between all the sites, because they shouldn't be far away from each other. And the third one by looking for the dancers, who can be part of the project, and also other artists involved, like the audio artist. The theme of decoloniality started in the 60s and 70s by Latin American writers. This became, through the years, a more and more important theme in many layers of society in a political, artistic, and academic aspect, not only in Latin America, but also in Europe. All over Europe and worldwide, we can find traces of colonialism, especially in each city's open space, buildings, and monuments. Yolanda Gutierrez's concept of decolonizing the colonial historical sites by bringing body, history, memory, and sound arises awareness of looking at the past in a more organically way, by walking, by witnessing the dance interventions, while listening to the audio tracks related to this part of history. Suddenly, even it's an immersive type of walk, kind of isolate, because of the headphones, the connection to the city and society around becomes part of the experience, and the feeling of togetherness follows. In this 7th project, Yolanda wanted to add the quotes of Diana Taylor from her book, Archive and the Repertoire Performing Cultural Memory in the Americas, to have a site related to the colonialism in Las Americas. Diana Taylor is a Mexican-born, distinguished university professor of performance studies and Spanish at New York University. You will hear from the voice of Zainab X. William Holly is the main narrator of this project. The audio artist is Cornelia Boehm.
Colonialism was never a learning nor a respectful encounter. As soon as Columbus touched the first island in Las Americas, the encounter was never at eye level. What made the white man, whether German, English, Spanish, Portuguese, Dutch, Belgian, or French, think that they were superior than all the people of the world? Was it because they were not baptized? Or because they walked half naked? Or because they were dark skinned? What on earth gave them that superiority to his mind to see himself as superior?
However, domination depends on maintaining a unidirectional gaze and stages the lack of reciprocity and mutual understanding inherent in discovery.
Just to give an example, the vision of the Spaniards at the cultures they approached was always unilateral. The way they wrote about their life structure and cosmogony was often written by their priests who arrived with them.
The importance of who is participating in this work is very relevant to questioning who is performing and where, by doing what. The dancers Jana Baldovino from the Philippines and David Valencia from Colombia were part of the Urban Bodies Project Munich. Their statements as personal sites and anecdotes can be heard during the audio walk. In this creative process of working with the dancers, first of all knowing and researching the sites, first of all it is important to know where the performances can take place and second, the exploration of the own dancers' biographies and the challenge is how to bring both together in dialogue. By reflecting, for example, about their past and their experience living as non-German or non-European in Germany, they influence their way of thinking and seeing the world. There are exercises who have been developed by Yolanda Gutierrez, which has to do with recalling the own memory archive through body exercises. As a method, she has been implementing this since the time she got the first invitation to present her work in Amsterdam at the international dance festival Julidans in 2019. That means on the one side the historical facts are important, but also the own memory archive, inspired by reading the book White Innocence by the author Gloria Wecker from the Netherlands, in which she writes about the importance of looking at our own cultural archive, Gutierrez got an inspiration for her work, which she's still developing for each project.
Hi everybody, my name is David Steven Valencia Martinez. I am Colombian. I am 36 years old. I have been living here in Munich since 11 years, 16 years here in Germany. I am a dancer in Gerneplatz Theater, and honestly, it's a pleasure and a fortune to be able to dance and develop a career in a land that is not yours. I hope that all of you enjoy this amazing trip.
Hi, I'm Jana Baldovino. I'm 23 years old, and I was born in the Philippines. My parents moved with me to New Zealand when I was 2 years old to start a better life, let's say. They put me into dance class when I was 3 years old to learn English, to make friends, because I was like super shy. And yeah, that's the start of my dance journey. I'm here in Munich dancing as a professional dancer at the Gärtnerplatz Theater, and I've been here for nearly 3 years. And it's just a pleasure to have this as my job, to dance and experience the world and the different cultures and experiences that come along with it.
Yeah, and what I really find interesting on all these stereotypes, at least for myself, is how I use that in order to reflect something. So like I stop being the one being observed and turn into the observer, into the person that is giving back a reflection of a cultural, it's a cultural damage that happened. Is something that we all have to deal with it. How we will deal with it? What will be the best, I don't know, the most productive way? Because I cannot really stay in the scenes of the path and stay there. How can I, as an immigrant here, being confronted with stereotypes and let the people know that it's fine, but it shouldn't be comment anymore. How? How can we approach that? How can we mirror that? And is I found it that in my art, in my job, I'm confronted all the time with that.
Yeah, it's like this thing of switching it from being the victim to empowering yourself you know, to not victimize yourself and being the victim of the stereotype that someone's putting upon you. I mean, for here, I can't really say, let's say here where with my company where I'm at, they're very open and kind and willing to accept me for who I am. But I've had many experiences before where it's unclear in the situation if I was taken for my skin color or if I was a good dancer, you know? So sometimes when I worked in the UK and there's this this form where you have to fill out. It's a diversity form. And in this diversity form, you basically have to state your age, where you're from, and where you're from, so to say, would have checkboxes of white, Caucasian, British, or Asian, British, or African, British, or even to the point of saying Chinese, Japanese, and then for me, I guess I would have to tick Asian other because they didn't have Filipino on this diversity form. And with this form, it gives the company a quota to get funding because you have people of diverse backgrounds. So this was the question for me also, if they accepted me, if I'm brown and Asian and not from the UK, or if they actually liked me as a dancer and they wanted me to be there. And yeah, there was another time I had an audition where I got to the end and they really liked me. But the I think the problematic part was when the call happened, I got to the audition and it was very typecasted. It was all Asian women. And I got to the end and then the man who was running the audition said to me, "We really like you, but you're just the wrong type of Asian." And I was so gobsmacked because I was 19 at the time and I didn't know what to say. But yeah, when you are faced with these things, you just don't know how to react. But now I can reflect on it a little bit more and know that, I mean, people give me jobs, I'm here, and I know I'm good. But it's just knowing how to, when you look back at it now, I kind of have to laugh because at a certain point, you just know that you're good. You know that you're here and you're doing this job and people hire you for this. There's many other people who can get the job also. There's many dancers. But of course, identity politics in this day and age, I feel, play a part.
The historical colonial past of the city, where the project takes place, is the first research and approach. Where are the visible colonial memory sites? And if they do not exist, how can they be revealed? The interconnections with this colonial past and its implications for today will be revealed and commented on verbally and corporeally. By bringing bodies to these sites of colonial memory, the aim is to reflect in a decolonial way on the narrative that has been handed down for generations. The body is empowered and intervenes, even if only for a brief moment, in these places to inscribe them with another imprint and another narrative, which will change in the eyes of the spectator. In the end, the ephemeral footprint will leave a trace in the minds and bodies of the spectators.
Yuri and Miranha were abducted from Brazil in 1820 by Johann Baptist von Spix and Carl Friedrich Philipp von Martius. Those were not their real names, but the names of their indigenous groups where they belonged. Spix and Martius were commissioned by the Bavarian king Maximilian I to conduct an expedition to Brazil. The two did not limit themselves to the flora and fauna. They brought a lot of ethnographic objects back to Bavaria, but also carried out extensive research on the population of the Amazon. And they abducted between 5 and 10 children. Martius gave away some. Others did not survive the sea voyage to Europe. Yuri and Miranha died in Munich within a short time at the age of roughly 12 and 14 years. Communication wasn't possible between them, because they spoke different languages. They were buried also in the old Southern Cemetery. Their gravesite is abandoned today, and the grave relief is exhibited at the Munich City Museum as specifically Munich bronze art. Yuri's head was cut off after death and put on display in the anthropological collection. If you see this grave relief made of copper, you will find an image of the north wind blowing away their souls, beautiful sculpted. Both Yuri and Miranya are laying with upper body naked in a cushion of grass or hay or similar. Perhaps a guilty conscience was the reason behind designing such a romantic grave relief, reflecting in contrast to their destiny and end in a foreign country.
This part of history attached directly to the colonial past of Munich offers us a perspective of how the so-called African explorers approached the world. As Diana Taylor's mentioned, this unilateral gaze stages the lack of reciprocity and mutual understanding inherent in discovery brought the Spix and Martius to abduct children from the Amazonia. In Munich, you can find a street name called Spixstrasse. The colonial past is present in almost every part of the world. The site of colonized people is an important aspect of these projects. The reason why their voices need to be heard is because, through centuries, the narrative which is known is from those who are so-called colonizers. The connections and disconnections of how the world is shaped become clear by changing the perspective. The dancers represent in every project an empowerment aspect and bring in a personal way how colonialism has influenced our way of thinking since colonialism appeared in the world. Today, various decolonizing artistic projects are seen as possibilities of change by bringing another sight and other narratives.
Thank you for joining us on Global Disconnect. Stay curious. Keep questioning, and remember that understanding our interconnected world is an ongoing process. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you prefer listening to your favorite podcast shows.